Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 1. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. I don't like taxes. I think a lot of taxes is just garbage and wasteful. But God used taxes and government to get his word accomplished, because Joseph and Mary lived in Nazareth. But that's not where the baby Jesus was to be born. He was to be born in Bethlehem according to the prophecy. And so God used taxes to bring the baby Jesus into Bethlehem. And I was talking about this earlier today in Sunday school, but let's not worry so much about the politics of things and just realize God knows what he's doing. And he allows some things to happen behind the scenes for a reason. And so verse 3, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. It came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this story of salvation and redemption. We thank you for the opportunity to know the truth and to have access to the light and the Savior. And we thank you, God, for the privilege that we are so blessed and spoiled with, and how that we take for granted what you've given. Help us to be stirred today. Help us to be made aware of ourselves today. I pray for someone that might not know you and has not yet trusted in you completely, 100%, as their Lord and Savior, as just simply realizing that they need to turn from whatever else they've been trusting in, themselves or whatever, their works or whatever, that they would trust in you and you alone, and that they would see your grace and take advantage of the grace and the gift that you've brought to mankind. We ask you to work in our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to look today at the shepherds. I want to look at these men. I want to focus on them today. First of all, I want to focus on the fact, as it says here in verse number 8, there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, I don't know exactly all the details involved with that. However, I have a feeling that the shepherds were not high-class citizens. I have a feeling that they were not well-to-do and did not rank high in society. After all, they were working the midnight shift. And those of you who work midnight shift, you don't feel like you rank high in society, probably. They probably weren't even getting paid as much as you who do work the midnight shift. But they were watching their flock by night. They were not sleeping in their beds like everyone else. They were out watching animals all night long. They were the simple people. They were common folk. In Matthew chapter number 5, I want to look there for a minute, and also Mark chapter 12, I going to look at two different places, but in Matthew 5 and in Mark 12, first of all, Mark 12, verse 37, it says at the end of verse 37, and the common people, speaking of Jesus, Jesus had just got done speaking, and the common people heard him gladly. And the common people heard him gladly. Listen, folks, I don't mind being part of the common people. You know, there were a lot of people there in that area at that time. Of course, you have the Roman government. You have Herod the king. Herod the king wasn't sleeping out in a field that night watching sheep. You have the Roman soldiers and the Roman governors and the people involved in that part of the world. They weren't common people. They were a little high ranking. Of course, you had the chief priests and the scribes, and they had their nice comfortable beds to sleep on. And these shepherds are out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And so you have the common folk, and I want to tell you something. I don't mind being part of the common folk. Now, there's good news for you. If you are plagued with riches, if you are wealthy, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, just because you have wealth doesn't mean God's against you. It's just that it seems like most of the people who have wealth or rank or position also seem to rise in pride as well. Their pride seems to elevate with that. And that's why we typically don't like those people, or you typically will hear common folk talk negative about the rich folk or the politicians or whatever. Listen, Jesus said, blessed are they that are poor in spirit. You know, it's possible that you can be poor and proud instead of poor physically and poor in spirit as you ought to be. But these shepherds were simple people. They were common folk. And I can relate to that. I feel like I'm a commoner. I feel very out of place. I don't like formality. I don't think I do a good job with formality. And I guess that's okay. But the shepherds were simple people. And so I hope that you can liken yourself to one of these shepherds. I hope that you recognize yourself to be a common person, a simple person. I hope that common folk and simple folk feel comfortable coming to church here, and that we cater to them. However, I'm also thankful when people that maybe have some means, but you never know it because they never flaunt it, and they just are simple and humble in their heart and their spirit. Well, that's what these guys were. They were common folk. And notice that the angels did not come to the Herod or the Roman soldiers or the Roman government. The angels did not come to the chief priests and the scribes, who knew a whole lot more about the Bible probably than the shepherds did. No, he came to the common folk. But I want to show you some things about common folk. And the truth is, whether you've got wealth in the bank or rank and position in this world, you're common. Back then, 2,000 years ago, Herod the king lived in a palace, and no doubt that night was sleeping in his palace and in his fancy bed. Back then, the chief priests held the political power and persuasion over the religion and the system of the day, and they were the ones who talked Herod into crucifying Christ later on. These people had rank and position and power, and this insignificant baby that was born in a manger, or these shepherds who don't even have a name in the Bible, these shepherds that are watching sheep all night, they were not important people. But every year, who do we recognize? We don't talk about Herod. We don't talk about the chief priests. We're not recognizing them. Nope. No, we're recognizing the common folk. I'm thankful that he was born in a manger. Listen, what would the shepherds have thought if the angel said, for unto you is born this day in the city of David. You'll find him lying in a stately bed inside the palace. What do you think the shepherds would have said? Oh, forget that. I'm not going. They'll kick me out. They won't let me in. You see, he was accessible to everybody. Jesus came in a way that was accessible to anybody. And by the way, it wasn't just the common. It was also some pretty wealthy, wise men who traveled a long ways to find him. But common in heart, common in spirit. You know, God says he resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. Jesus said it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle. Imagine trying to thread a camel through a needle. It's easier for the camel to go through an eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Not because he has riches, but because the riches puff him up. And he doesn't need God. The shepherds were simple, ordinary, common folk. And today, God sees fit that we remember them and know more about them than we know about all of the important people back then. But notice something. Even though they were common and simple, they still had a problem. First of all, obviously, they were in the dark. They were in the dark. I was thinking about that. You know, that 2,000 years ago was a whole lot different than today. Today, we're in the dark, but we're really not in the dark. There's so much electricity. If you've ever flown on a plane and landed in the evening, I mean, it's just the whole city's lit up. You drive into Rapid City at night, or even just drive somewhere close, and you see this glow from the clouds from the big city. And we don't really have that kind of darkness today, but back then it was pretty dark. Except for maybe the moon and the stars, there just wasn't anything to light anything or to make any significant light. They were in the dark, so to speak. Listen, that's the way people are. We're in the dark. And so then obviously, verse 9, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were in the dark, but they got exposed to the light. They got exposed to the light. With your finger in Luke chapter 2, I want to go back to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. It's a prophecy. What's happening here is these guys are out in the dark just trying to watch out for their sheep. All of a sudden are enlightened by God himself. He sends his angels to light the way and to tell them a special revelation. Over in Job chapter number 33, we won't turn there, but it says that God desires to enlighten the path of man. If men will just desire him, he will enlighten the way. He will show them the way. I don't know for sure. I can't say this for positive. But I wonder if there were some shepherds maybe that night thinking about their sin. I said I wasn't going to turn there. I'm just going to turn there for the sake of it. Job chapter 33, and let's look at it. Job 33 and verse number 27. He looketh upon men, this is talking about God, he looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not. I do think God is looking down from heaven to see if there's someone that will say, I'm a sinner. And what I've done has not profited me. An honest heart. Could it be that that night the shepherds out in the fields, unlike the Herod the wise and Herod the king or the chief priests and the scribes, unlike the important people of the day, could it be that the shepherds, the poor shepherds, maybe amongst them had just had a conversation that night about sin? And maybe some of them were contemplating, what's going to happen to me? I'm a sinner. Maybe there's someone in here like that. One day I'm going to die. Have you ever come close to death? Have you ever thought about the day that you will die? I mean, a lot of people don't like to think about this because they don't like to get honest about this because it gets uncomfortable. But if you start to think about what sin is going to do for you eventually, you'll start to take an honest look at yourself. And it says, he looketh upon the men. Verse 28, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. Verse 29, lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes with man, to bring back his soul from the pit, to be enlightened with the light of the living. When you're in the dark, you need the light. And God desires to send his light and let his light shine upon you so that you can see the truth and find the truth and find your way out of this lost condition that you're in. That's what God's desiring here. I don't know for sure because I wasn't there, but I just can guess because of what I know about God and what I can see him doing here is that God's looking down and he's seeing important, King Herod, and he's seeing important chief priests, and he's seeing all these other things going on and all this activity. And over here on the hillside, for whatever reason, over here on the hillside are a bunch of no-name shepherds who apparently were interested in the light. Because when it shone on them, something happened. First of all, number three, they were afraid. It says here in verse 9, "Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, fear not." They were afraid. Now, why is that? Well, let's go over, keep our finger in Luke 2, and go over to John chapter 3. I mean, obviously, an angel just showed up. I mean, where there wasn't any light, all of a sudden there's these creatures, and light is shining. But remember, they're in the dark. So let me read you these verses in John chapter 3, starting in verse 16 through 21. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Now, God did not send Jesus into the world just to show the world how wrong they are, but so that he could save the world. Verse 18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now notice the next three verses. And this is the condemnation. Here's the condemnation right here. "That light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." You know why people are in the dark? Because their deeds are evil. What's the most popular time of the day to go drink? What's the most popular time of the day to schedule a party? What's the most popular time of day to rob someone or something? See, it's just easier to do it in the dark. All kinds of sin takes place in the dark. And verse 19 says, the condemnation is this: light is come, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Have you ever flipped on the switch in the kitchen about 1 o'clock in the morning? And there's critters. I mean, sometimes something goes running across the floor. You know, and all of a sudden there's little critters that are finding a place to get back into. Verse 20, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." I have no doubt that these men were afraid because of the fact that all of a sudden a stranger just appeared. And apparently they're like maybe even floating in the sky. I don't know. And a shining light, there's something shining going on there. And what's going on? Well, light exposes that what the darkness hides. Without turning over there, 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that God, little g, God of this world, has blinded the minds of men, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ should shine unto them. You know, it happened to me last night. I was out caroling. I went to one house, and the owner flipped on their porch light. Their porch light is aimed right at me. I sang 4 songs to a bright light. I don't know what else I was singing to, because I couldn't see nothing. And you know what we say? We say, that light is blinding. Let me tell you something. It's not really the light that blinds. It's the darkness that blinds. What happens is that you get accustomed to dark, and then light hurts. But light's your friend. Light isn't really the problem. The problem is becoming accustomed to dark. That's the way people are. Maybe that's the way someone is in this room right now. You're just so accustomed to dark and so accustomed to blindness, and the God of this world is blind. They say, and I've heard before, that people who are just, without light, if they spend their entire time in the dark, their eyesight starts to fail. There's fish in the deepest part of the ocean that they don't even, they can't see. There's never any light penetrating that far down. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And what happens is they become so blind they cannot see. And so then here's what happens. God flips on the light. What happens when you have been accustomed to darkness? You and I, like the little critters, we get accustomed to darkness. What happens when the light turns on? Oh, the offensive thing is the light. That light's so offensive. And it's so blinding. And we blame the light for being blind. We blame the light for not being able to see. Isn't that a goofy thing to blame the light for not being able to see? And yet we blame the light. And so what do? We turn from the light. And we say the light is not our friend. Now here is the blessing with these shepherds. They were afraid. I would have been afraid too if I was them. They had been comfortable. They had been relaxed. No doubt their eyes were dilated. They were just kind of sitting there. And all of a sudden, boom, God shines. And God starts to, and his messenger starts to speak to them. And friend, here's the crux right here. What do you do when that happens? What do you do when God's light's being shown on you? Oh, that's offensive. Get away from me. Well, apparently there was enough in these men, and that's obviously why God went to them, that they wanted the light. They wanted the light. They didn't run from it. They were scared at first, which is natural, but they wanted the light. Because here it says in Luke chapter 2, the angel said, "Fear not," verse 10, "for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." You know what they heard? They heard the gospel. Psalm 119 verse 130 says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light and gives understanding to the simple." The word of God can speak to the simple. And so I hope that you're simple enough to hear the gospel message yourself today. I hope that you realize if you are a Christian that you don't need to make it fancy, just keep it simple. The gospel message is, you have a Savior born to you. There's a Savior for you. Good tidings is the same thing as saying good news. And notice what it said in verse 10. Last three words. To how many people? All people. Now, if you've got an ESV version, English Standard Version, you have an NIV version, New International Version, you have a New American Standard Version, and probably a lot more that I didn't even take the time to look into. But if you have one of those most popular ones, it doesn't say all people. It says all the people. Adding "the" in there makes it a certain people. But that's not what the Bible says. The real Bible says all people. All people. If he had said all the people, the shepherds would have naturally thought, what? Well, I'm not the people. Certainly not us. We're not the people. I mean, there's so many more "thes" than us. And I'm just a shepherd. I'm not valuable enough to have a "the" in front of me. It also says in those three perverted Bibles, it also says down in verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to whom God favors." There's something called Calvinism or predestination that teaches that God selects who gets saved. Goodwill to on whom God's favor rests. Well, again, if I was a shepherd, I would think, well, that can't be me. Look at me. That's not what the Bible said. That's not what the angel said. That's not what God said. God said, goodwill to all people toward men. It's for you. Unto you, verse 11, is born this day. Unto you. If the message had been exclusive, the shepherds would have thought, well, he must be talking about the chief priest. Hey, angel, look, you made a wrong turn. Chief priest lives over the hill. You must be looking for the king. He's down yonder. No, the message was to you and to all people. To all people. And the message was in a manger, not in a palace, not in a fancy theological institute. No, simply in a manger. And they heard that gospel message. They heard the good tidings. And they realized that God sent that messenger to them. And so the next thing is probably the most important thing. Point 5, verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven. And by the way, they didn't worship the angels. We're not supposed to worship the messenger. As the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. I don't know what they did with the sheep. I don't know if they just took all the sheep with them and they all just crashed the scene. I don't know. But they went to Bethlehem. They weren't out in the hill somewhere. They went to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. They believed and they obeyed the gospel message. They believed and they obeyed. I believe what I've been told, and I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to go. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe? Do you believe the gospel? Do you believe that Jesus Christ was sent from heaven to die on a cross to pay for your sin? Do you believe it was for you? Then what are you doing about it? Do you believe it or you just believe it? Because if you believe, you'll do. See, if you believe, there's going to be some kind of an action. If there's a belief, there's going to be a prayer. If there's a belief, there's going to be a calling out to him. Because I heard the message and now I'm going to respond to the message. If you believe, there's going to be a response. And then verse 16, and they came with haste. They didn't stop at the store. They didn't sleep on it first. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They found what they were looking for. They found the Savior. Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you are looking for him, he will be found of you. Look at Jeremiah 29. God said this way back in Jeremiah, verse 29, starting in verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. By the way, let me just stop there. The very fact that God sent an angel and his angels to the shepherds, what does that tell those angels? He thinks about me. His thoughts toward me are not of evil, but of peace. He cares. He cares. Nobody else cares. I mean, the chief priests who are supposed to know the Bible, they don't care about the shepherds. Shame on us who know a lot of the Bible. We never go to the hills. Shame on us who know a lot about the Bible, but we're never talking to anybody, any shepherds, any common people. Shame on us if the governor, the lieutenant governor, or the mayor shows up. Ooh! But when the shepherds show up, God demonstrated how much he thought about them by sending them those special messengers. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. Verse 12, then shall you call upon me and ye shall go and pray unto me and I will hearken unto you. Verse 13, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Are you looking for him? Somebody said it like this. Some people can't find Jesus just like a thief can't find a policeman. You don't want to. You're not really trying too hard. Again, if they had been told that a Savior was born in a palace, a Savior was born in a fancy hotel, they would not feel welcome or could feel adequate to be there. But a manger, they knew all about a manger. Swaddling clothes, they wrapped their own sheep up in the swaddling clothes. They knew that was their territory. And they found the Savior. I wonder if you found him. I'm not asking if you've heard about him. I'm not asking if you've heard about him or you know something about him. I'm asking you if you found him. Because here's what they did when they found him. Verse 16. Verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at all those things that were told them by the shepherds. Verse 20, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. You know what they did after they found him? They glorified God, they praised God, and they told others. Got a question for you. Have you found him? Then who do you tell others about? Who have you told others about him? When do you glorify him or praise him? Let me read that again. When they had seen it, they made known abroad. That means they let everybody know. Hey, you wouldn't believe what happened to us tonight. You wouldn't believe what we found tonight. Who we saw tonight. You wouldn't believe. Verse 18, all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. The shepherds have got into some new vodka. They're gone crazy. The shepherds are goofy. Well, they're running around saying that they found the Savior in a manger somewhere. I got a feeling that a lot of people that say they know Jesus have never really found him. And the reason why I got a feeling is because there's no broadcasting. Man, I've seen people on Facebook broadcast all kinds of stuff. Hardly ever do you broadcast Jesus. I got a question for you. You know him or not? Or you just go to church. It's my job to make you uncomfortable if you aren't truly a Christian and to expose the light in your darkness. If you're a teenager and you have more fun, and I've seen teenagers sitting right here staring at me right now that have smiled and goofing around and have more fun out there with kids who are not Christian, who say stuff that shouldn't be saying, and yet when you come to church, you look like you just drank sour pickles, juice. And I got a question for you. What do you know? And who have you found? Because I don't get it. Because if it were me, I'd be like, I'm not impressed with what they found. No, it ain't just the teens. It's the parents. It's us. But if you found something, you want to tell people about it. If there's good news out there that there's a Savior for common folk, for everybody, I want people to know. And let me just give you a little hint. If you're going to church, but then you don't act like you really care or that you really have something exciting, then you're really just telling everybody you're a hypocrite. Because most of them go to church too, but they don't believe in any of it. They just do it because grandma wants them to or mom wants them to. They're just going through the ritual. And so then what you really become is you become like the chief priests who know all kinds of religious answers. But God didn't send his angels to them. You look at the manger scene. There are no chief priests there. There are no politicians or kings or governors there. There's some simple, common people there. We get it in our head that, boy, if the lawyers and doctors would go to our church, we'd be something. Yeah, we'd be something, all right. Without Jesus, we'd just be like everybody else. But if you're common, and you realize that Jesus came for common people like you, and you found him, you're going to talk about him, and you're going to glorify him. And all the people around you are going to wonder, what in the world happened to you? In verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. But oh, here's how religion works. We teach each other, we learn it, and then we teach our children to just repeat after me and just walk the talk, talk the talk, walk the walk. Just look like the part. And it's not real. Did you notice that the angels, let me read it again just to make sure I'm not wrong when I say this. Here's what they said. Verse 10, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I just read everything that the angel said. Did they say at any time, and after you find him, then go talk about him? Can you find that in there anywhere? Then why did they do it? Because they wanted to. Why don't we do it? Some of us. Because we don't want to. Shame on you. Shame on you for one of two reasons. You're a Christian and you've let the world deceive you into being quiet about it. Or you're not a Christian, but you're just pretending this whole thing. Either way, shame on you. It's time we are like the shepherds. The shepherds became true Christians. They believed, they obeyed, and they witnessed. They didn't go around screaming about their sheep. They screamed about their shepherd. They were still simple, but they were extraordinary. And for about 2,000 years, even though we don't know one of their names, people all around the globe and little kids dress up like them, and people all around the globe set up little scenes about them. Why? Because simple people became extraordinary. Extraordinary. And you might sit here and think, he's almost done. He's always done about noon. I can't wait for him to stop. I doubt you're going to heaven. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And your mom, grandma, listen, I'm sorry. But if your kid's never excited about Jesus, I doubt they know him. I doubt they know him. And you ought to wake up to that and say, oh, God, help us. Because if your kids don't know Christ, someone like me is always the enemy. Because I'm always the agitator. I'm not really who people hate. I'm just the guy holding the light. And I'm not always right either, but I'm holding the light, and that they hate that light. Why? Men love darkness, kids love darkness, because their deeds are evil. But amongst the hard hearts and amongst the rebellious, and amongst those who want to scurry around in the darkness, there are the shepherds out there somewhere. Somewhere out there, there are some honest hearts that are saying, I want to know the truth. If someone would expose me to the truth and show me the light, I'd go in a heartbeat. And maybe that's you today. Maybe there's someone here saying, you know what, Pastor, I've got to get this settled. I want to talk to you about the Lord. I believe it, and I want to receive it for myself. Maybe that's you. If it is, don't leave this building without finding him, without going to him and finding what he's all about. Be glad to open up the Bible and show you the gospel. It's very simple. You've pretty much heard it already. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man's going to come to the Father but by him. And simple, no-name shepherds found him. He's not hard to find if you want to find him. Let's bow our heads for a moment. I just want to invite you, give you an invitation. Young person, old person, adult, teen, child, if you aren't sure you found him, but you want to find him, raise your hand and say, Pastor, I need to know. I'm just not sure. Raise your hand. I'll be glad to talk to you. My wife would be glad to talk to you if you're a lady. Anyone, say, Pastor, I'm not sure, but I want to know more about salvation. I want to know for sure that I know Jesus Christ. I know all about him. I've heard about him, but I want to know him. I want to know, find him myself. Anyone like that? With just a lifted hand? It's me. I pray if you don't know him, that it will happen. I'm not talking about knowing about him in your head. I'm talking about knowing him in your heart. And I think you know that. Dear God, we thank you for this morning. And I pray for our people, young and old alike. I think it's just that the young people can't hide it as well as the old people can. And so I pray that hypocrisy and fake will be erased and run from. That an emptiness will be recognized and a darkness will be felt, and that individuals will come to the light. You'll break the heart of each and every person. Maybe some sitting in this room that know something's wrong, something's not. There's just no evidence of finding you. And I pray that you would work in their heart. And help me as a bearer of the light to do it correctly and lovingly and patiently. But help us to keep shining the light. Now that you've found us and we found you, may our light shine for others. And there's so many excuses for why people want to stay in the dark, but they're all lousy. And help us to realize above everything else what a privilege and an opportunity, God, you've given us to just even have this opportunity to come and tell us the truth. And so it's nothing but our own fault if we ignore it and go on in the dark. Lord, be with us and speak to us today, and may lives be changed through your word. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.